I
Hey,
just want to
Mushy.
give everybody some love, man. Just let everybody know that this stream is the best stream on Twitch, man. That's all, man.
Hold hard in the trenches. Ask a nigga what he benching. Triple digits, nigga. Don't forget to mention. Hold hard in the trenches. Ask a nigga what he benching. Triple digits, nigga. Don't forget to mention. Don't forget to mention. I got memories. Dead stain the whole room if I let him bleed. Shit was dark. I let this Lord.
Welcome back to another episode of the Trapper Dive. We're going to get some administrative things out of the way, daily episode things. If you're looking on Twitch or if you're watching live and you're not following the channel, do us a favor, follow if you are not. What's going on, Jammy301? What up, boy? Follow if you aren't. It is a followers only chat. So obviously that would be beneficial for all of us, but also you. You can always be a part of the show each and every show, Monday through Thursday and on game days, pregame and postgame. What's going on, Jared? Appreciate you checking in, man. I hope all been well with you, bro. I know you've been outside a lot, according to your posts. Outside. But yeah, YouTube, if you're looking on YouTube, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you aren't subscribed yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Help us out. And catch us on Twitch when we're streaming live. And then podcasts, as always, if you're listening, subscribe, rate, review us, man. It takes 2 seconds. If you heard me say review in the minute that you're listening to this, literally, just help us out. Hit that 5-star. You know what I'm saying? We'll do 1 stars over here. Hit that 5-star and give us like a 2-second review. Help us out, man, and get some people hip to what we do over here at the Trapper Dive Podcast. We have a recurring guest today. Before I get to the man of the hour, we gotta get to Dre, the co-host, man, the good man, Dre. Dre, how are you feeling today? Everything good with you?
I'm feeling good. I mean, I will be feeling good all week until we play on Sunday. Well, at least until Saturday when nerves get going. I mean, but after you win, you always feel good for the week. I mean, this is one of the things, like, I'm still teleworking on my regular job, but this is one of the things I do miss about working in the city when the team wins, because everyone is so happy. Like, you come to work the next day, you win your gear, you know, people pointing at you, you know, everybody is friends that day. So I haven't seen that, but either way, I feel good until we get to this game on next Sunday.
Hey, look, don't be too nervous, man. If you know what I'm saying, if you have your trepidations or respect what Buffalo was doing up there, you know, some fans may call you scared, bro. You know what I'm saying? I think you just respect what they doing over there in Buffalo. You gotta relax. You know? Look, have some confidence tonight. You know what I'm saying? We ain't trying to get called out on this show.
It's all right, man. It's one day at a time, one game at a time.
Absolutely. And then we got the good guy, the good man, Manny Denton, recurring guest, man, a good friend to the show, everybody that's on the show. For those who know Manny, he's been around for a few years, and obviously those who don't know, he's been around for a few years, all within the Washington realm as a reporter, and then as a person, just a fan of the team, man. So, Manny, welcome back. How are you feeling today, boss?
I'm good, man. Always happy to be on with you guys, man. Love watching the show, and like I said, I'm just excited to be on to talk football, man. Been dealing with post-COVID issues for the past like 5 weeks, and so
yes,
watching that game on Thursday, bro. Like I was hitting up my boy for his inhaler. I was like, dude, I don't know what I'm gonna do with myself right now. I can't breathe.
Oh my goodness! And you know what's even worse? Because I remember you, because I definitely forgot for a second. But you were giving updates on Twitter, and Brian, you still don't have any smell or any taste, do you?
Yeah, it's been 5 weeks and I have like maybe 30% taste right now. Smell is like 10%. I can barely smell anything. So it's weird, man.
I mean, so at this point, I mean, I'm glad that you are healthy. I just have to ask this question because it's just, I'd be a fool if I don't. Are you watching what you eat now that you can't taste anything? Or are you like, just F it, I'm going to just eat greens and fish and chicken breasts? Yeah. Like, where are you at with your diet?
Well, from the beginning, one of the few things I could taste was ice cream. And so I was literally smashing ice cream every single day. And so that's been my, you know, cheat thing there. But everything else, like I've been just trying a bunch of things to see like what works, like what can I eat? And you know, I find that spicy food, which I like anyway, but like I've been getting the extra spicy stuff because you can't even tell that it's that spicy. I can at least feel
you can tell when it's you know, when it's time to, you can tell it was spicy. all right, I'm leave it alone, bro. I'm leave it alone, man. Obviously, you know, we always we wish the best, man, because I wouldn't want to go through anything like that, man. So hopefully things turn for the better soon. And we'll just leave it at that, boss. Obviously, fellas, we have a goal here, and that goal is to talk about the Washington football team. Yesterday, I gave my thoughts on Washington and just recapping some of the things that we kind of left off the table or off the board immediately after the New York Giants game. And this is y'all opportunity to get things off y'all chest and see where y'all are at with this team to this moment, but also just your overall thoughts on the game and the upcoming game. But anyway, the floor is yours. You take it where you want to with this team. Manny, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. Where are you at with this Washington football team 2 weeks in, now heading into their third week of the 2021 season?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know what to think right now, but one thing we can't say about this football team is that they don't have fight. Like, I mean, they have proved that they will fight to the end of a game. And so I think that's something to cling on to. I think that there's a lot going on right now with just – you hear Rivera talking about it a lot, just the youth being young, playing young, being immature as far as not, you know, maintaining their gaps or their responsibilities. So I think if they're able to clean that stuff up, what you think, like being the first 2 weeks of the season after just having weeks of training camp, they should have already cleaned that stuff up. But, you know, it is what it is. I think that we're going to see this defense get better as the year goes on. You know, I'm excited to see what Heinicke is going to do moving forward. I still like this team's chances. I haven't, you know, even when Fitz went down, it didn't really change how I thought about the season. I still feel like this team is going to compete for the NFC East title.
So,
yeah, for me, it's...
actually, you got it. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you're good. Yeah, I'm waiting.
All right, so I was going to ask Manny, obviously you said it's still early and you don't know what to think about it. And obviously, I mean, I agree. I think we're still up there in the front as one of the front runners for the NFC East. My thing is, if you want to dive a little bit deeper into this defensive side of the football, Ron has given, so I'm gonna give this quote and then I'll give you the question. Cause this is part of the quote of the week. So we can get it out now and then continue this conversation. Ron Rivera on the defensive miscommunications. This was probably, I think, a day after the game, if not the immediate post-game presser. He said, well, it's a little bit of both. David, who's the person who responded or asked the question, excuse me. I think, again, part of it is your communication. It's really once you're playing the coverage. Now we get a specific type of formation. Hey, for example, hey, this is the technique we're going to play and understanding where that leverage is going to come from and then how I'm going to react to it. So now some of these things we have to read on the run, you know, the release of the routes, a combination of routes, high versus low, cross are coming, combinations. What are those combinations? And we have to all be on the same page. So if we get a guy coming in and he's running a dig across the middle and the guy behind him is going to run the post, the last thing that we want somebody to see somebody doing is jumping the dig. Make sure that we stay high on top of that, meaning the post. So again, some of that communication is verbal, and some of it is really just understanding what I'm reading and seeing. That is the full quote from Ron Rivera. My question back to you, Manny, is that this isn't just a one regime thing, man. This has been going on for multiple regimes, multiple coordinators, and this communication thing still exists. And the fact that you mentioned that you would have thought they solved this thing in preseason at the very least, or even in a training camp, and it still exists now, it goes even further than that. They should have had this down pack well before they even entered training camp. So the fact that they're having it in week one and week two, I don't think it's a quick fix. Manny, do you think this thing is solvable? And what would be a short-term solution to something that's way larger than just a one or two thing turnaround, like from a coordinator standpoint or coach's standpoint? What's your idea or thought on this?
Yeah, you know, last year and early in the season, I had heard, and I think several reporters mentioned this, but I feel like it didn't really get enough buzz. But apparently the defensive line, specifically the young guys along that line, weren't necessarily meshing with the defensive line coach early in the year. And they weren't I mean, I don't think it was like they were like they didn't like his coaching or whatever. It's just they wanted to do them because they're alpha males. Like they've had so much success doing what they do. You know, now you're telling them to do something different. And it took them a few weeks to surrender to his coaching and say, okay, we're going to listen to you. And they started having some excellent games. So, you know, I don't know if it's that kind of situation. What it sounds like right now, to me, looking at it, and you mentioned, like, Washington has had this issue for some years. And one of the first things that comes to my mind is, you know, Washington has had issues with having an alpha male at safety for years and at linebacker. You know, you have them now at on the defensive line. But from my understanding with a defense, when it comes to communication, you got to have a leader on the defensive line who can communicate well. You got to have that middle linebacker or linebacker who can communicate well. And you have to have that safety in the backfield who can communicate well with those back there playing, you know, defensive back. I think it's so important. Like, it's so crucial to have those three components, because then when you have that, now you got on three levels of your defense, guys who are communicating. They know what to say. They know how to put their guys in position. And I don't know if this team has that yet. You know, they got a young middle linebacker who is not playing that much. And when Bostic is in there, you know, I think he communicates well, but he's just not capable of doing certain things. And, you know, they have a lot of safeties that I think, you know, that are some are talented. I love Cam Curl. But I don't know if they have that dog back there that can communicate the way that they need him to communicate yet.
Dre, your thoughts and also just your overall thoughts, obviously, on the team heading into week three.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the team is about where I expected them to be if I did have any expectations. I mean, we're 1-1 going into week three. Both games were winnable games. We won one, we lost one. And, I mean, if you listen to the prognosticators or most of the fans talk before the season, a lot of people predicted 8-9 wins this year. You know, they said it was going to be like that. So far, we're 50% in our games. So, I mean, obviously the biggest disappointment is the defense, of course. I mean, we beat that dead horse to death. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely an issue right now. It's a concern, and you hope that it gets better. And as you said, Jamal, it's something you didn't really expect in the Ron Rivera regime to hear guys needing to mature and they're miscommunicating and stuff, because this is stuff we've seen in the past. Now, what I expect moving forward is guys are going to start getting benched. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if this becomes a habit, and Ron being the guy who he is, and he's supposed to be a disciplinary, also Jack Del Rio's a disciplinary. Now, guys are going to have to start shaping up or they're going to get bitched. I mean, this goes for anybody that's doing. I know some people has mentioned Chase Young, maybe one of those guys. Of course, Landon Collins. I mean, he's the big money guy. But at some point, you got to, you know, save the defense, and you got to get guys in there that want to play within the scheme, because as you're seeing, we're having, like I said, guys are running free on busted coverages. You're not having guys standing lanes on read option plays. So, I mean, that is discipline. And if you're not going to play discipline, you shouldn't be on the field. So that's my thought so far on the defense. But I have full confidence that they can get it together, because I feel like, you know, Chase Young at some point, he's going to get it. You know, he's one guy. I mean, he hasn't been bad. He hasn't been the worst player on the defense or anything. It's just you expect more out of him because of where you drafted him. So with Chase Young, you expect he plays better. That, you know, everybody else starts playing better. Jonathan Allen, he's playing his ass off. You know, Montez Sweat is probably playing about what you expect him to be playing right about now. He can do a little bit more, I think. And Deron Payne, he flashes, but you want him to be more consistent. Now, the big key is Jamin Davis. You want Jamin Davis to keep growing. Like I said, he had a much better showing on Sunday than he had week one. So I think the key to the defense getting better, for one, it's going to start with Jamin Davis's development and his growth at the linebacker position. Like, once you start seeing him on the field more and less of like the John Bostic, then I think the defense gets better and better as you go on. So once that happens, and if the offense can stay on, I think this team will be up right about at the expectations most people have for him for this year.
So back to this defensive line thing and just responsibilities in general. Dre, you mentioned two people in particular. Not saying this is who you believe, but just the assumption or possibility of, I think it was, you said Chase Young, and then you mentioned, who was the other person?
Well, I mentioned the whole line.
Chase Young. Oh damn. Yeah. Oh, all right. So the whole line. okay. But you had mentioned a couple people in particular when it comes to responsibilities and.
Oh, Landon Collins Jamie, was the other one. Yeah.
That all right. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Chase Young and Landon Collins. So Jamie, in the comments, he was referring to the issues from last year, and he was saying, now I do remember a little bit of Ioannidis, but I just didn't want to say it verbatim. So, but he was mentioning that he was Ioannidis and a little bit of Jonathan Allen. He said from what he remembered was two names that he remembered having issues with the coaching style last year, and it took some time for them to get adjusted. And I guess that's kind of where the story derived from. But in terms of Chase Young, man, I do want to put this one thing out there, and I'm gonna say it here because I'm not gonna mention the person, but you all know who it is if I bring it up. But the guy was kind of inferring that Chase Young was kind of playing outside of his responsibility, specifically like on a corner blitz with Kendall Fuller, and it kind of got in the way. So it was a question of like, is he playing a little bit selfishly as opposed to playing within the scheme or playing within the principles of the defense? I watched the game again, and there was multiple corner blitzes and safety blitzes that Jack Del Rio sent. The one that got home was against Kendall Fuller. I mean, was with Kendall Fuller.
Right.
But prior to the Kendall Fuller blitz, I think Cam Curl got sent on a edge blitz. And Chase Young played inside, like a lot of people questioned how he did against Kendall Fuller. Obviously, he did play outside on that one. And for those who don't know, the way it's gamed up, when you have that edge blitzer from the secondary, you kind of want to take that tackle. Whatever side the edge rusher is on or the blitzer is on, you want to take that tackle inside. But Chase Young did that on the first time. So we can't attribute, and it's hard to speculate, but you don't really want to say that Chase Young you don't want to put that narrative out there that Chase Young was are part of those people because you saw that one play of him bouncing things out to the outside. He may have simply just forgot. He may have forgot and was supposed to be inside, and he's just messed up. So you don't know what it is per se or specifically, but just to point that one example out, and in that one example, you all know who I'm talking about. It's as simple as that. You got to understand, Chase Young didn't do that every single play or every single time. There was probably just one opportunity, one instance where he just messed up, and that's that. But I even bring that up is because Chase Young is in a position, man. He's in a weird spot, fellas. And Dre, you brought up a great point. I'm going to hand this to you all after this. You brought up a great point that he's the number two pick. He's not playing bad. And I think that's the first and foremost part that we all have to understand here. He's not playing bad, but at the number two pick comes expectations. I'm not one to really always harp on chips and double teams. Like, that's not going to be my first defense when it comes to Chase Young. It's something that you take into account and understand that he is being challenged in a way that he probably didn't see coming at one point, or that he didn't experience yet to this degree. However, you got to understand that the best still find ways to get to the quarterback, and that is his job right now. How do you continue to get better? How do you continue to beat these guys that's going to these coordinators who are going to scheme to stop you and continue to make an impact for this defense? The game against the Giants, he was tied for second among three players in pass rush wins in week two. Von Miller with 8, Chase Young and Micah Parsons tied with 7. They each won 8-7 individual matchups against the people in front of them in their week two matchups against their respective teams. So he's won, and he's had those moments, but he's not getting home. Fellas, the open floor is with you all on Chase Young. Do you all think that what side are you on if you're on a side? Just put it that way. What side are you on if you're on a side with this Chase Young thing? Is this something that he needs to figure out, or is it overblown and he's doing just fine?
Man, you go ahead.
It doesn't matter who goes first. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I was surprised to see that stat. I've never heard of that stat before, so it was really interesting. And I guess what it's saying is that stat is coming from wins against the person in front of you, not necessarily getting pressure on the quarterback, right?
Yeah, that's how I took it from ESPN's Next Gen Stats.
So I look at that too, because looking back at some of the games, you see that these quarterbacks, and again, like, this is not to make an excuse for Chase, because he has to win. But you see these quarterbacks just throwing quick passes and stuff. And so there's been a lot of times where Chase has won against his lineman that he was going up against, but he stopped on the rush because the ball was coming out. And so he put his hand out there to try to get the, you know, knock the ball. And so you're seeing that. And then, you know, I think Chase is still young. We forget that he's 22 years old. And again, like, the second overall pick, like, we don't want to throw these excuses, but these are legitimate things we got to put into, you know, and making it all into context here. And, you know, I see Chase showing his flashes of being the freak that he is. But he is going to have to learn how to negate those double teams. Same with Montez Sweat. But at the same time, you see a guy like John Allen who's getting stats, you know, because these guys are getting double teamed and chipped. So, you know, collectively as a unit, you want to see these guys get theirs. But Chase specifically, you know, I definitely want to see him start posting some numbers, because, you know, we can say what we want to say about pressure being more important than sacks or whatever. At the end of the day, the sacks are what get you paid as an edge rusher. And Chase knows that.
Yeah. To answer your initial question, Jamal, yes, definitely a little bit of both with Chase Young. You expect a lot more out of him, but you also right now I'm also not overly concerned as well. I mean, because I think he has all the tools to put it together. I mean, we know what the guy can do. We've seen his potential. He's flashed plenty of times. But on the other hand, we drafted this guy at number two to be a disruptor. I mean, not to just, you know, get a couple of stats here and there, but we drafted him to kind of just disrupt the whole game plan for the offensive team. Now, what you have seen from the offenses that we have played so far is that they had game plan specifically for Chase. Now, this is the adjustment that Chase has to make for these guys that are, you know, game planning specifically for him. Like, you see the chips coming to a side, you see the doubles coming a lot of times to a side. Now, Chase has to have some counters for that. Chase is going to have to, you know, get better with those type of things, because right now, as you mentioned earlier about the whole, you know, whether he's playing within scheme, I'm not going to get into that rumor now because I don't know. I mean, I know that one play with Kendall Fuller happened.
Sounds like it was irresponsible.
Now, yeah, I mean, now the one thing with the Kendall Fuller thing, yeah, maybe he did play out of scheme on that part, but that could be just simply due to frustration as well. I mean, he's frustrated that he's not, you know, getting, you know, the stats that he wants to get or the disruption that he wants to get on the game. And that comes with the maturity thing that Ron kind of talks about as well. I mean, that just comes with a young player having to mature, because whether you're frustrated or not, you're still going to have to play within the scheme at all times, because at any given time, you're responsible for the men behind you as well. So, for me, like I said, I'm not overly concerned right now just because I know what Chase is capable of, but I do want to start seeing some kind of disruption soon. We got to see more of those flashes. Like, we're seeing them in pieces right now, but we need to start seeing, like, that San Francisco game last year. Now, granted, that was against Nick Mullins, their quarterback, but I think Chase has the tools to do it against
the line was healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Trent Williams and then we're playing in that game. So, you know, but you want to start seeing that against the big boys, like the what we got coming up this weekend against Allen. You know, I mean, he's a hell of a quarterback. So it would be nice to see Chase start to show what he's really capable of this week.
Absolutely. So to catch up on some comments, first and foremost, Zim, appreciate you checking in and appreciate you following, man. Spin mentioned that Chase has to figure it out because JDR is running a regular defense, dependent on defensive line wrecking games. And then Zim mentioned, when I asked the question if it was overblown, he said that it was, and that the D-line pressure doesn't really matter when you can easily give up a quick pass over the middle of the field with linebackers and safeties, namely Bostic, John Bostic, Cole Holcomb, and Landon Collins. I mean, you are doing yourself a disservice right there, Zim, by just laming those three, because Kendall Fuller getting beat. William Jackson III didn't have the best of games against the Giants, at least.
Hey, even Cole Holcomb, he's not playing, like, you know, in coverage. I haven't seen him doing that well in coverage.
Yeah, these guys were getting beat by, like, and especially with zone assignments. I don't understand. I mean, I understand it, but the fact that the quarterbacks are just so keenly aware of when to throw the ball when these linebackers turn their heads is incredible, because they don't miss. None of these quarterbacks have missed throwing behind the linebackers, over the middle, in the seams, and then the deep ends, man. It's incredible, like, how they just do not miss. But to that point, Zim mentioned that it's overblown due to the coverages. And fellas, we talked a good amount with the defense. I think we can leave it there for now because we can talk about the defense for two more hours. It's perfectly fine. We can transition this offense, man. So one of the things that caught my eye today, I think it was Alex Smith. Now, I didn't read the article. I didn't have a chance to read the article, so I'll just read the headline to us all. Alex Smith absolutely believes that Heineke can help Washington football team win the NFC East. Now, I don't know how you're going to be able to take the defense out of this question here, so I'm not going to force you to. If you have to circle back to it, go ahead. But my question to you all is, can this team win relying on the offense to shoulder the load? Everybody that's in the chat, everybody that's watching, it's your chance to be heard too. Let us know. Do you think that this team can win on the back of their offense? Fellas, I'm gonna start with you, Dreytus, on this one. What do you think about this question? And what do you think about Heineke's potential and his contribution to winning the NFC East with them?
Well, I like what the offense is doing. I mean, I thought they actually, you know, for what it's worth, their first game, I didn't think Scott Turner had a bad game plan. I just thought that, you know, they had a bad protection in that game. Second game, I thought they had a pretty good game plan. But while I think that, I don't think it's fair to place that burden on this offense because that's not what this offense was. I mean, while we did make some improvements, we got some wide receivers in, I think we still need, you know, we still got a lot of young guys on that side of the ball. We got a quarterback that's not fully proven right now. And I mean, he's only started, two games in his career. This will be his third career start. So, we still don't know what we have in him yet to kind of say that this offense can be, you know, any more than what it is right now. But as far as Taylor Heineke goes, I mean, what can you say? I mean, the guy just plays well every time he steps on the field. And he makes, I mean, even the people who are kind of denying him at this point, I think even they are excited to see what's he going to do next. Like, what are we getting out of Taylor Heineke next week? You know, even
everybody but AJ.
Yeah, everybody but AJ, but that's fine. Even like Kevin Sheehan, one of the guys who claims he doesn't get excited too much. I heard him on his podcast. Well, man, I'm getting excited talking about what Taylor Heineke could possibly do next week. And that's something that's kind of big for this fan base. Like, what is this guy going to do? I mean, you know, we may not think much of him. Like, we don't know if he's a franchise QB or anything. I mean, no one's saying that. We're way too early in that. But just the fact that every time you watched him, he's played pretty well. Like, you can't walk away from his games with too many complaints. It's like, now you want to see what's next. Like, I mean, is this guy just a flash in the pan? Is this just what he does? I mean, you want to watch it. So, like I said, I think he's made the offense run smoothly. And that's another thing about Scott Turner. I think you're kind of seeing what his offense can be with capable quarterback play. Like I said, we had over 400 yards of total offense against the Giants and 30 points. And that 30 points came without getting any turnovers from the defense. No field position wins during the game. That was the offense having 90-yard drives, 85-yard drives. So, I mean, that's kind of what you want to see from the offense. But like I said, I don't think it would be a fair burden to put that expectation of them to lead this team every week, because I think that's what you wanted out of the defense.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, it's weird because, like, well, not weird, it's to be expected, but Scott Turner and Heineke have like this harmony that is like they when Heineke is in the game, like Scott Turner's playbook opens up. It's like he's just calling a better game. You know, I don't know, man. You know, Taylor Heineke, it's, from what I've seen so far, is one of these cats that is like, you trust him when the game is on the line. Like, from what we've seen so far, is like there's nothing for us to say about him, you know, being able to just turn the ball over at the end of the game, although he did that last week. But you still, like, even after that, I still felt like this guy could take us down the field and at least, you know, finish off this game for us. And so when you have that in a quarterback, you can always trust that your offense can finish off a game and actually win it for you. But again, like, this is a small sample size. Like, we don't know this for sure. We don't know if that is going to happen consistently. So again, like, this team was built for the defense to lead them, and the defense has not led them yet. And so I think this year specifically, we need that defense to really step up so that the offense, the pressure, like Dre said, is not completely on them, because there are a lot of young guys on that offensive side. And Taylor Heineke, even though he's like 28, 29 years old, is still, you know, in football age young. And so you can't rely on those guys to win it for you. So, yeah, you gotta get that defense to get going if you expect to win consistently this year.
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna. I completely agree with both of y'all. And to save Dakota, bro, if you want to get thrown on the roof, I can do that. Like I'm not playing with you. So in order to give an alternative perspective or a different angle to this conversation, I'll just bring in the fact that I saw a poll or a question, I don't know. But I saw something earlier today asking if Taylor Heinicke was the second best quarterback in the NFC East in this division. Now, I do think that there's an easy answer here, but I also feel like it's not fair to Taylor because Daniel Jones has played 40 games. Jalen Hurts has played close to 10. And then you have Dak Prescott who's played 60 something games. Taylor has played two. There's room for positive production, and then there's room for negative production. In order to understand how this offense can maneuver against some of the better teams in the NFL, the first thing is going up against the Buffalo's team, who is the second-ranked defense in the NFL right now after they pitched the shutout, but also played really good against the Pittsburgh Steelers too. So they have done really good against both units, both offenses. Taylor is going to have a big test against a really good defense on the road. They will send blitzes his way. They will try to confuse him and that offensive line, who is also not that cohesive. Not just yet. You cannot predetermine how good this guy is until you see him in stressful and in elite environments, such as the opportunity that he's going up against in Orchard Park. But also, not even just that. The fact that you're getting opportunities against, let me see. Hold on. I always forget the schedule and I got to pull this thing up. You're going against Buffalo on the road. Then you'll eventually get to Green Bay and then you'll eventually get to Denver. All really good environments for the home team. And Denver in a unique way, regardless of how good they are or how good they aren't perceived to be, Denver is really hard to play in. Their environment is just tough. So, you have to see Taylor in these situations, Dre, and I don't know if this offense can really shoulder the load. They'll have opportunities, and they'll have ways to get this thing done. It all depends on the health of Antonio Gibson and, honestly, the health of Logan Thomas and Terry McLaurin, because they're going to have to rely on these guys, and they did a good job displaying that they can do that against the Giants, but can they do that on a week-in and week-out basis? Because the opportunities and the force feeding that they did with Terry on the 13 targets with 11 catches, that's something that you need to see on a weekly basis. That was amazing to see. They gave him the ball at the line of scrimmage, intermediates. They took a shot, I think, like a 20-yard shot, I think. They had opportunities all throughout the field for Terry McLaurin. And I just feel like it's hard to really see it until we have a larger sample size, comparatively speaking, Daniel Jones and Dak and Jalen, who's had way more games than Taylor, man. So I'll flip it to you all. Do y'all have any thoughts on this poll and where y'all are at with Taylor Heinicke's future as a Washington football player?
Yeah, I think the poll was a little premature and ridiculous. Like you said, Heinicke has two starts in the NFL. Jalen Hurts has six starts in the NFL, and other guys have started for multiple years in the NFL, Dak and Daniel Jones. So, does he look better than a couple of them through two games? Yeah, sure. Two games is a very small sample size, so that's not really fair to Taylor right now because, you don't want to put him on his pedestal too quickly. But, like I said, from what we've seen, that's what you if the quarterback is drafted in the first round, you draft the quarterback in the first round, he shows a flash with Taylor's flash, you're going to get excited. I mean, you're going to be like, man, that guy, this guy is playing, like he can play. So And I do see a lot of nitpicking with Heinicke, which I don't also, I think is a little weird because it's like, oh, well, he throws the ball too high, or, you know, he's, you know, not throwing a catchable pass, but he's putting them in the spots where his receivers are making plays. Like, why are we taking credit away from him because his receivers are making plays? This happens all over the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when Patrick Mahomes throws the ball 70 something yards in the air, Tyreek Hill still has to go out and get it, right? I mean, he's making a play for his quarterback. But I mean, every quarterback makes mistakes. Every quarterback's going to throw interceptions. Every quarterback's going to get sacked. Like I saw people say, oh, well, he got himself sacked. Okay, he got sacked once. Every quarterback gets sacked throughout a game. Damn near every quarterback throws interceptions in a game. So just let him play. You know what I'm saying? Just we'll come to a conclusion. We're evaluating him right now. No one has to make a decision on Taylor Heinicke right now because as of right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is out for weeks. You know, Kyle Allen is still a backup. And right now, it's Taylor Heinicke's job to lose. So we don't have to make a decision on him to say what he is or what he isn't right now. We'll get this chance to evaluate him in the coming weeks. You know, we don't have to nitpick everything. We can just kind of, we're going to get a large sample size provided that he stays healthy to be able to judge and say, okay, now we know what he is versus sitting up here dissecting every little play he does, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's too soon, and he hasn't had enough starts to even qualify for this kind of conversation. So I think, like Dre said, just sit back.
Thank you. Thank you. He hasn't even had enough. Like, these expectations that y'all are putting on this man, y'all don't even know that y'all are doing it. Like, imagine if he has a bad game, then all of a sudden, I'm going to let you finish your point. It's just like, that was it. Like, imagine when he has a bad game, bro, and all of a sudden, all these people who were all up praising Heinicke, now all of a sudden, it's going to be yes. It always happens. Man.
Yeah. But Dre, I like your point though about like, so I think so often like we underrate these guys who went undrafted or whatever, and we kind of elevate the guys who were drafted higher. Like I kind of like right now with Heinicke, in the back of my mind, I keep thinking about early days Kirk Cousins, and you know Kirk was a 100 overall pick, and so he still had that expectation of being a guy like when he started. Those games when RG3 went down, we were like, okay, there may be a little something here, but we need to still see more. With a guy like Heinicke, like there's still people who are saying that, but then there's other people that's like, well, this guy was a backup in XFL. Like this guy, you know, went undrafted. Like he can't become that good. But it's like, you know, well, there's plenty of guys who went undrafted and they ended up becoming great quarterbacks. And so we don't know, but we have time to just sit back and allow things to play out. He has his first away game this weekend. I think it's a great opportunity against a pretty good defense up there in Buffalo to see what he can do. And so I'm just excited to sit back and watch it, man.
Absolutely. So fellas, man, this has been a really good show. And before we get out of here, let's close it on just what we want to see against Buffalo. Because Manny, we probably won't talk to you for a little minute. So I want to get your thoughts on what you want to see from Buffalo or against Buffalo, and what do you expect will happen?
You know, I think that if I don't know if you guys actually watched the Buffalo game or not, but if I
haven't finished yet.
Yeah, if you actually watch Buffalo, man, they're not who we think they are. Like, they're not playing at the level that they were last year. Josh Allen is not as accurate, I feel like, as he was last year. I think this game is winnable, and I'm interested in seeing how the defense plays. I think this could be a game where the defense has their get-healthy game. Like, if the defensive line is able to play to their caliber of play, this game can become very interesting. I just feel like if Heinicke goes out there and plays well, or at least just plays efficiently, if they give the ball to Gibson more than 20 times, that, you know, I just feel like they have an opportunity to win this game.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying that I don't really expect to go into this Buffalo game to win up there. I think it's very tough to win up there. It's a very tough environment. And besides, I don't think we've beaten Buffalo in Buffalo since the 80s. So it's like, you know, it's not an easy task. And they usually smoke us up there. But with that said, I did watch the Miami and Buffalo game this weekend. And Manny's right. I mean, Buffalo isn't playing at the level that, you know, a lot of people said they would play at, as, you know, as far as Super Bowl contenders and whatnot. Like, they smoked Miami, but Miami, that was more about Miami just not putting up a fight. Like, once Tua went down, like, there was just no fight whatsoever in Miami, and they had no answer with Brissett and the quarterback. Like, in Buffalo's offense, while they do have the potential to be dangerous and scary, they get stagnant a lot. Like, I watched in the Miami game, they were stuck on, like, they had scored early, they jumped on Miami early, then they just went stagnant on offense for until almost like the fourth quarter or the third quarter. So like I said, if the defense is who you think they are and they start to grow up and they play a little bit, they're going to make this a similar game to what Buffalo faced in the first week against Pittsburgh, when they could barely score against Pittsburgh and the game was a grind and it was a dogfight. And that's kind of, if the defense is who we want them to be, I think you'll see more of a dogfight this week versus us just going up in there and just getting tanked by Buffalo.
I think the weirdest thing is trying to figure out how good, like, the offense is, like, Buffalo's offense is. And I think why it's difficult for me to process is understanding, and this is me from a gambler standpoint too. Like, I am who I am, man. And it's not like a fan thing. But it's like understanding who they were last year, how efficient they were last year. But also, are they that team who's looking for that opportunity to just get right against a team? Like, and that's going to be the thing that kind of gets things back on track for them. Again, I'll just speak respectfully in the sense that I haven't finished the game yet. So I trust both of you all and what y'all are saying. I have seen, like, their defense, though. And the only thing that I can speak on with this game so far on a Tuesday is that these guys know how to send pressure. I like Leslie Frazier. Always liked him and always just kind of weirded out and how he didn't get bigger opportunities earlier after his stint with the Vikings. But I like how he sends his pressures, man. He doesn't hesitate. Like, from the get-go, he's going to test you from the get-go. He's going to force you to adjust. He's not going to adjust to what you're doing. He's going to bring out what he wants to bring out, and then you go from there. And that's kind of something where I feel like Jack Del Rio needs to take a page out of somebody else's book, is understanding that you don't have to just sit back and hope that your front four gets there. You can send pressure when you want to. You can lock up in man-to-man when you want to. You can play a combo coverage when you want to. You don't have to, like, try and trick these guys in a certain situation. You dictate when you want to do what you want to do. And then if things don't work, that's when your adjustments come in. So for me, from a coordinator standpoint, I would like to see these guys be a little bit more aggressive in the sense that you're not going to allow them to make the big plays. You're going to make the big plays. And if you whiff, like, that's on you. It's not them making the play. It's that you messed up. They're not going to make a play against you. You're going to do what you can to stop these guys. And offensively, I feel like the biggest thing for Taylor, and we'll dive a little bit deeper in this on Thursday, Dre, but I think the biggest thing with Taylor is just understanding that this opportunity is big, not from just an individual perspective, but also understanding that Washington needs to get back on the right track. Yes, they're 1-1, but their schedule doesn't get any easier after Buffalo. So protect the ball. Continue taking what the defense gives you, because he's done a really good job at finding his checkdowns. Adam Humphries had a really big game because he knew where to be for Taylor Heinicke. And I feel like these opportunities and understanding where these guys are, J.D. McKissic, Adam Humphries, Logan Thomas, they're going to be your best friends moving forward, especially in a hostile environment, man. So we'll see. I do think it's winnable. I completely agree with y'all. When you were talking, man, I looked at the spread. The spread started out at 10 points, is down to 8.5 for the Buffalo Bills. I'm not sure if you're a gambler, Manny, but Dre, as you know, that spread dropping down is good news for us, but there's still a lot of bets on the Buffalo Bills right now. So kind of got to watch that line. I do want to bet Washington if it gets up to 10 points, though. I will definitely tell you all right now, if it ever gets up to 10, I'm doing a large bet. I'm telling you that now.
Look, let me say this on that bet in front. You know, a lot of people choose to look at it as this means Buffalo is going to smash us. This could also be the NFL setting up for an improbable Taylor Heinicke story. Like, you know, they want to set up the Washington football team to be a big underdog, but it's nothing more than the NFL wants than an underdog like Taylor Heinicke himself to just go on some kind of crazy run that he shouldn't go on, because that will be the first story on SportsCenter every week, you know, especially with a line like that, 10 points. And then just let's say we go up there and we beat them with Taylor Heinicke and he looks good. Oh, that's the first story on every NFL show. Oh, they were such big underdogs. Taylor Heinicke is the new darling of the NFL. So like I said, don't underestimate that the NFL loves storylines like that. So that might be why that line is like that too.
Absolutely. So we're going to close out with one comment from Jamie301. He said, simple, he is a quarterback. He's talking about with Taylor. He is a quarterback that knows and can operate the offense similar to Kyle Allen. If you look at the games from last year, it's been so long since we had a good quarterback that we jump on anything that smells good. I think we are average with Taylor, but we will see. And then Zim mentioned, obviously, that Vegas is setting the lines, not the NFL. That is a fact. That is true. Yeah. All right. Manny, before we get up out of here, man, obviously, as always, like I told you before, and I tell him on the stream, man, you got an open invite. Anytime you want to chop it up with us, you let me know. We get you on the show, man. Let the people know where they can find you and what you got going on, boss man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. You guys can find me on Twitter at Manny_Benson. Always talking Washington football. Always down to, chop it up with the guys, man.
Absolutely. And then you guys know where to find Dre, and you know where to find me. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you use that U. Don't do JMAL because you won't find me. but yeah, with that being said, we up out of here. Hey, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Appreciate the new follows and all that good stuff. It's been good, man. So I'll be back tomorrow with the R32 side of the Trap or Die podcast. And then we'll be back Thursday with a game day preview with Buffalo Bills reporter. And we'll have call-ins as well. So we can have some questions or topics that anybody can discuss watching football team related. With that being said, we are up out of here. See y'all later. Peace.